You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, over to the book of Ecclesiastes for a moment. And perhaps we can just take a moment, pray. Our Father in God, we're just stopping. We should always be stopping. God, help us. We have no idea what lies ahead. Only you do. So you got to help us. A little bit, God, motivate us. Equip us. Energize us. That we might be the cutting edge as we go forward. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And as you notice, there's an old expression, time and tide wait for nobody. Think of tide like the waves in the ocean. Time, you can't stop the clock. And you can't stop the tide. Can't stop it, no matter what you do, no matter what is happening in the whole world, you can't stop it. It just keeps moving. And no one, you could drop 10 atomic bombs and you can't stop the clock. You can't stop it. Now, so therefore, God, Ecclesiastes, has to help us. So, and you remember in Ecclesiastes and in chapter 1 and in verse 3, what profit hath a man in all his labor which he taketh unto the sun? And then you slide down in the light of the context and you slide down to verse 8. All things are full of labor. Remember what you left in verse 3? Labor, sliding down to verse 8, all things are full of labor. Labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. So, as you're going down the corridor of time, I forgot to do my thing. As you're going down, there's no new thing under the sun. Nothing. Everything is the same. As you keep reading, and Ecclesiastes, and chapter 1, are going on to verse 10. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after it. When you're all done, history just keeps going along, and us humans from Adam to Abraham to David to the Apostle Paul, we all just keep being born and die. And the world just keeps moving along. Not only our planet spinning around 1,000 miles an hour, 68,000 miles plus an hour, 68,000 miles an hour, going around the sun. That's a lot of speed, a lot of speed. We're just spinning around. And God keeps the earth for a little longer. And here we are. Everyone has to be born that God has seen in his heart and mind before anything was ever created. So every human being that's to be born next week has to be born. They have to be born. Christ died for them. He did everything already. They have to finish. That's why you're going to finish history. You can't just stop history. You have to finish it. Everyone, the last person born in the millennium, has to be born. Have to finish the job. Christ died to make sure it was finished. Now, keeping that in mind, so history just keeps going. And humans come, humans go. They make a hop, they do whatever. They learn something from the previous generation. But then, in the same breath, they learn nothing from the previous generation. And they repeat everything all over again. And there'll be something new with new, the AI in the electronic age. No, it won't. A lot of, everything's, you can have a new refrigerator. And that, you can get all those things. Fusion, atomic fusion. You can do all kinds of things. But us humans, we're the same. We're the same. We live and have new gadgets and everything, and then die. And we disappear. And God looks. He's going to give everyone opportunity. And in doing so, over in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And everyone has a time and a season. And I'll even catch up, if I can, chapter 11, just to get a little more background. Chapter 11, and in verse 8. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. I'm living. But you aren't going to be. Everything's good. But it's not going to be. And you're all hoping it's going to keep going like this forever for you. No, it isn't. But we learn nothing from history. We repeat history. So, and therefore, rejoice, O young man, 11:9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee to judgment. We're young, we can do whatever we want, be whatever. We're going to live forever. We're going to do it. Don't. You're going to end up, keep going. Therefore, verse 10, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put evil away from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. And you're going to get old. But I'm not going to get old. I'm not going to change. Yes, you are. Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And then they're just going to get. Say, it's not going to happen. Yes, it is. I remember a dear lady, older lady, a long time ago. She said, I never have got sick. She never got sick. And that was, thank God's goodness, thank you. But then she had to get sick. And boy, did she get sick. You see, I'll never get sick. I'll never have anything. Be slow. And therefore, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Chapter 12, verse 1, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And as you keep reading, come to the verse 13, chapter 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, when all of history and all of humanity and all of everything is written. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and with every secret thing whether it be good or whether it be evil. So God, here we are. It's our turn. We're on planet Earth, and we're moving into another year as the calendar goes. And so we're looking, God, to you. So therefore, what are we going to do? We're going to have to look to you and count on you. And while you're in Ecclesiastes, do one other thing. Back over to chapter 3. That will help us. Chapter 3. And you'll remember that chapter 3, a wonderful little section, a time for everything, verse 1, 3, 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, etc., etc., etc. And so there's a time. And all of them are made so that you can never say, I got it. You can put your hand and try, I got control. But then when you open your hand, you don't have control. Your hand's empty. Now, chapter 3, verse 10, I have seen the travail which have given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes says about. Remember, we did it. Verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful. The word beautiful is shining, practical, useful. He made everything beautiful, useful in his time. Everything has a purpose. Also, he has set the world, eternity, in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. You can't leave God out of the picture. And that's the whole book of Ecclesiastes. All of history learns nothing from history. You can't leave God out of the equation. It doesn't work. It'll never work. Never. No matter what generation, no matter what. And the tribulation will certainly demonstrate that. So therefore, we need to go and leaving the past. We need to leave the past with understanding. What do you mean? Well, you have to turn everything. 1 Timothy 6, 7, we brought nothing into the world. And it's for certain we're going to bring nothing out of the world. Nothing in and nothing out. That's for sure. Now, Titus, and we made Genesis 3. We are dust, made from dust. We are dust, and we go back to dust. That's another reality. Therefore, learn from the past. And therefore, God, what are you going to do? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what do we understand, God? You did a wonderful, wonderful thing for us. You went and died. That's why we could be born physically. That's why we can be born spiritually. So God, here we are. Are we going to get the message from history? Are we going to learn anything from humanity, us humans? God, we have to include you. We can't exclude you, God. You went to the cross and you personally took each one of us all at once in your own body on the tree, and you bore our sins in your own body to pay the penalty for Adam's sin and thus all of us sinners. And you paid the penalty. You died so that what? We could live. We could live. And you know in Romans chapter 6, turn there just to remind yourself and to keep you a little busy. Romans in chapter 6 again. And Romans chapter 6, picking up please, in You know it. All I'm doing is count your blessings, name them one by one. What did you do, God? Now we read it, you all know it. What did he do for us? He went and died on the cross and took our sins in his own body in the tree. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. God, when I recognize and realize you took us to the cross and you paid the penalty and you then rose again so that you could say to each one of us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You can say that to anybody. To why you died on the cross to bring us back to meet and know you. And that's all you did that for us, so that we could have walk in newness of life, to have a wonderful understanding, and as it goes, our God, you've given us and forgiven us all our sins in your own body in the tree. You paid the price, and you know that from the Colossians and Ephesians, et cetera, et cetera. He bore the sins of our own, bore our sins in his own body in the tree. So that what? That I don't have to see my sin. I have it. I have an old nature, the same as all of us. But God, that isn't an issue now. No. I have to understand, learn from the past. Learn. What did I do for you? What have you done to enjoy and learn? How have you learned anything of what I have done for you to bring you this far, to January 2026? What did you do? I have let you live all the way to this minute. To this minute. May not have another one, but to this minute. Now, having said that, you've forgiven us and laid all those sins aside, and we're to reckon ourselves dead. And therefore, God, you see us as new creatures in Christ in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Therefore, God, having said that, to go, you've taken us way beyond all that we could ask or think, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things have passed away, and everything has become new. And all things have passed away means all things. It's used as if James 1, your body, this body we live in, as you look down from heaven, it's like a piece of grass. It lasts like a flower that's here today and gone tomorrow. That's all your body is. And we're all going to die, just like the grass, just like the flowers. We're just going to die. Dust, back to dust again. Now, what have you done? And the same as we're passed from death unto life. That's the same as God has the same verb in Revelation 21. A new heavens and a new earth. The old is passed away. That's the same verb. It's gone. As far as I'm concerned, God said, the gospel, Christ died and buried. Done. No more. No more to dig up. No more to, I'm done with it. We keep playing with it. We keep playing with it, and like Ecclesiastes, each generation repeats itself all over again, all over again. Now, and so having said that, God has done a wonderful thing for us in giving us. So therefore, don't worry. Don't worry. Yeah, don't worry. That's a good word, don't worry. Don't wrongly continue the past. The past is done. God's done that. You have all your memories, pictures, all kinds of things. But if you carry the past wrongly, you carry baggage. And the more the past you carry, and you don't even know it, I remember this, I remember that. That's all right. Leave it. Leave it. Forgetting those things which are behind Philippians. Otherwise, you're carrying all that. Carrying all that. And it wears us and down and down and down. And you have to overcome that. You don't want to do that. The past is gone. There's only one way to go. Forward. That's the only way. So therefore I want to know, I don't want to live in the past. I don't want to carry yesterdays. I don't want to do that. I don't want to overload my little head and heart. Like the guy with the wagon back years ago, wagons. And the farmer's going down the road, and the traveler was there with his big sack on his back, carrying his back, traveling down the road, and going down the road. And the wagon farmer stopped, said, "Do you want a lift?" I said, "Sure." And so he got onto the wagon and sat next to the farmer, and they're driving along. And the farmer said, "How come you keep the bag, your load on top of your back?" "I don't want to burden you anymore. I don't want to burden your wagon anymore. You're already on the wagon. I'm already carrying you. Take the load off of your back and put it in the back. You don't have to, I don't want to bother you, God, anymore." Wrong. You already are a bother. How's that? You already are. God died to save you. And that means the whole thing in a whole kind of way. So therefore we want to go. And we don't want to continue the past. We don't want to live in the past. We don't want to carry yesterday's. We don't want to do that. And we're looking for God's work, his workmanship. We're looking for his word. We're looking for his will. And we want to learn. We want to learn from yesterday. I don't want to repeating the same dumb thoughts, the same dumb thinking. I don't want to do that. It isn't taking me anywhere. And if you live a whole nother year, if the Lord tarries, what have you gained? You'll be right back where we are. No, God, I want to learn from something. I want to learn from yesterday. I want to go forward. And I want to look to you, God, to help us. So, God, you're going to be faithful and to be educated by your experiences. I want to learn. And you certainly have them every week. Every day you have them. Learn from them. Where did you believe? Where did God fit in? Where was God left out? And when you leave God out, the presence of God, in whose presence we are, when you leave God out, then you're trying to carry the whole thing yourself. And if it gets confusing and troublesome, there's worry, want, fretting, fuming, fussing. All of those things happen. Disappointment, discouragement, 1,000 things happen to us because we aren't learning from the past. Therefore, our troubles seek us out. Our troubles find us, as it were, and they don't seem to let go. So therefore, God, at least the first thing, learn from yesterday. You want to learn from, you just had a whole year, learn from it. What did you learn? What have you learned? Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, if you would. So therefore, living in the present, learning from the past, living in the present with understanding. I want to live in the learn from the past with understanding. I want to go and live in the present with some understanding. God, you've done a wonderful thing. Over to see that a little bit, that's easy to see. Go over with me to Philippians and 1,000 different ways to do it, but here's one. And in Philippians in chapter 1, and you will note, if I can, Philippians 1. And you will note, please, directly in the light of the context, verse 6, being confident, bold, fearless, that's the word, bold, fearless, being confident of this very thing. What is that? That he, God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, till he comes. When you came to know the Lord as your Savior, God started something that he had died on the cross to make possible. And God started something in your life. It never says he's going to take a vacation. It never says he gets tired. It never says he quits. It never says that. God started it. He has to finish it. And so if I'm really, really saved, I want to understand what? I want to understand that I'm saved. I don't want to learn from the past. I got the past. I'm living in the present. Right now. If I know the Lord as my Savior, I have everything that I always had when the day I got saved. The day I got saved, I had the whole thing, didn't I? And now all these years have gone by. And right now, I have the whole thing. I just need to get back on track, to get down the corridor of time. That's what I need to do. I want to get back, God. I want to stay on track. I want to stay in the place where God, he that you start a good work in my heart, in my head, and your love to do so. God loves to do, to be all that he is. And you always, God isn't just a blob out there. God's something too big for me to understand. Yes. But God wants you to understand so that you can understand what God is. He is. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. We've been doing it of late to remind ourselves. He just is. And God delights being who he is. And when everything looks sour, no sweetness, bitter, when things go lousy, in the world we're going, where we are now, the world conditions aren't very positive. They aren't very positive. No. Too many things out there that aren't getting fixed and aren't changing. In fact, they're getting stronger. Now that puts a, you have to come slowly. We want to see a lot of good things, but the world of darkness hates good things. The world of darkness hates light. It hates light. If you think you can do anything, if you were in heaven, you could do correct thing if there was something wrong. But you can't in darkness. As we said, 1,000 years ago, it used to be a bar room or something, whatever it is, in the process. We don't go in and change bar rooms and drinking. People are going to do what they do the way they do it. Your neighbors, the people you work with, the people you go to school with, they're all the same. That's what you read in Ecclesiastes. We're no different. Just what we are, humans. What we're doing, what we're doing. To whatever measure we include God. But we aren't changing the world. You aren't changing the world system in any way. The world system is just like it was way back here. Lost in trespasses and sin. Hasn't changed. So therefore, God, as we look to you, we want to go and learn And we want to look to you, God, so that we can go forward, living in the present with understanding. God, we have a wonderful relationship to you because of your Son. So I want to, and that isn't something I had at the minute, we have at the minute where we receive him as our Savior. And that never stops. It's just we don't exercise it. We don't learn from it. So therefore, God, we want to go and exercise without fret, worry, fear. We don't want to do it. And darkness is always there. And truth is always there. And I'd say it another way. All the darkness in the world, from the very baddest satanic system, all the darkness in the world is no threat to light. The little candle burns no matter what the darkness is. The same with truth. Truth is truth, and error is error. And truth is never threatened by error. Truth is never threatened. Light is never threatened. God in you is never threatened. He's never threatened by anything. That's what we learn, to trust him. God's going to start a good work. He's going to finish it. And we need to have do so, God, with understanding, with thanksgiving. So, and having said that and keeping that in mind, so God, here we are. And we're looking to you in the light of the living in the present with understanding. God, we're looking to the future with understanding. Past, I want to understand a little. The present, I want to get a hold, don't want to lose it. And the future, I want to understand, God, the future. I need to be looking to the future in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So I need to yield to God's wonderful working in God's wonderful way, in the way God does what he does, as only he can do. And therefore he outworks. We're seated in heavenly places. That's where we're headed. We aren't sitting there yet, but we're there in Christ. God the Son, in his perfect humanity, is seated there. And he holds, that's my place up there. That's your place. We're still here, right? But Christ is still in us to take us to finish the job. But in the process, so we're seated in heavenly places in a most wonderful, wonderful way. That's a wonderful, wonderful future. And that has to happen. That's where we're going as we go down the corridor of time. And therefore, we want to look to God, God who's going to outwork, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Wonderfully so, God, the transition to be able to go from this body and this thinking and the way we think, and God to get it straight. God, you've given us your word to understand it. But God, then, clarity. Wonderful, wonderful. It's always been in front of us, God. That's what Ecclesiastes is about. It's always there. But you humans never take advantage of it. You never use it, never exercise it in a way that you should. So therefore, all the while living in God's timelessness, God has no time. So it isn't governed by the calendar. He isn't governed by the tide. He isn't governed by anything. He just is. He is. How did you tell Moses to tell the people? You'll remember Exodus 3 and 14. Tell them I am who I am. I am who I am. Who are you? He is. Now give me G-O-D, three little letters. And there's no language that can explain it. God. There are no words. There is no language. I'm God, he said. I am. I am who I am. Now live with that and learn from it. Now, so therefore, in God's wonderful, wonderful kindness, God takes us down the corridor of time, and we need to go over to Peter. Peter. First Peter, if I can. And wanting to learn. So God, here we are, live. We have a relationship to you. And the calendar has nothing to do with that. Your relationship to God is timeless. Your relationship to God is explained. It's called eternal life. That's the explanation. God, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath no life. Eternal life is God. You don't have time anymore. And the calendar doesn't mean anything in that sense, because you don't get older. You just get a little more wiser in your stupidity. Is that all right? You're learning. And waking up, God. So therefore, God, we have a unique relationship to you that is timeless. There is no hour, there is no day, there is no anything. It's just a relationship that is it's just wonderfully real and simple to enjoy that relationship in a most wonderful, wonderful way. That's what I want for you to do. I want you to be able to go without fear, without frustration, in a world of darkness, and you aren't going to fix the darkness. God saves you out of the darkness and puts light in 2 Corinthians and in chapter 4 and verse 6. God puts light into your heart. Directly says it. Where am I going to get in the darkness? When you receive Christ, the light of the world, he brings the light into your life. And the light's on. And you see, I need to have, in light of the future, I want to be able to have understanding. How am I going to? God, you've given us your word to be able to understand, to get down the corridor of time, to get where we're going. And we have, it's a darkness. So remember David said that in Psalm 23. He said, even though I walk through the valley of deep darkness, and it never gets light, I get weary and dreary. And David said, I get so sad and depressed. I live in this valley of darkness, and it gets tiring. It never gets light. And they never want to have light. They never want to have truth. They want to stay dead. Psalm 23:4. I'm afraid some of you believe that. No. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. I fear no evil. I fear no evil. You are right with me, God. Thy rod and thy staff, right down the corridor of time. Now, 1 Peter, and got it together with tired. 1 Peter, I just tried to, I know you're tired. Some of you have been here since 4 o'clock this afternoon. And so I'll give you, I know. So don't go to sleep yet. But in the process, God, we got an awesome tomorrow coming up. Another year doesn't mean a lot. Just another day. In the light of what? We have life. The life we had this year is the same life we have next year. And next year we get older, hopefully a little wiser, but we go to next year. That's what we do. 1 Peter 1 and 17. Remember, be holy if I am holy. In verse 16, as it is written, be holy for I am holy. Verse 17, and if you call on the Father, whom without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here on earth as a pilgrim, as a stranger in a strange country, as it were, because God took you out of the darkness and put you into the kingdom of his dear Son, into the kingdom of light. Therefore, verse 17, according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. That's what you're doing. You're a pilgrim. You're just going down the corridor of time. That's what you're going to do. And you're looking for God to get you to go down the corridor as you go, trusting God. Now, you'll remember as we close, a little thought going down the way. I want to get through. Years ago, you remember the painter painted the picture of a forest, big forest. Big trees, everything. And you look at the picture, it just didn't seem to sit right. Because you look, it's all tree, forest. It's not very pleasant to look at. The artist knew that. So when he finished his painting, he took his brush and went to the top of the painting and drove a line like that all the way through it. He made a pathway. He made a way to get through that forest. That was the problem. How do we get through the darkness? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I'm the way, all the way, to the end. I have begun a good work in you. And if you like it or not, I'm going to finish it one way or the other. You're either going to be blessed and say, wow, or you may be a little bit, I don't even think you'll be sad, no matter how much you louse up time on earth. I don't think you're going to be sad in heaven. I don't think so. I think you just miss out. You just miss out. You don't have it, but you'll be happy because you're there. Just to be there. Wow. So God, here we are. I can't see my way through it. But Christ in us, he is the way. I don't know how it's going to go. But God in Christ, in your heart, is light for the darkness. Is truth for the error, is life for the death. And he's going to, God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God, how far do I have to go to be encouraged? How far do I have to go to find hope? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, I have to go anywhere. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. I am the way through it all.